Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. And we know when Jesus is speaking, when this is referring to Jesus, it's referring to one of his own 12, one of his main group of disciples, those who would become the apostles. He was referring, of course, to Judas, who had just that evening had his feet washed by Jesus, who just that evening had been fed at what we now call the Last Supper with the body and blood of Jesus, the first group to receive communion. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, which has been shed for you. Judas, whom knew that he was going to betray Jesus. Jesus, whom knew that Judas was going to betray him. And yet, he still served Judas. As he was having Judas, unknown to Judas at the time, that he actually was serving God by betraying Jesus. That doesn't take away his great sin, but he was serving in a way he could never imagine. So tonight we're looking at verse 10. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. Do you remember the time when the Israelites, who had ran from the Egyptians, were wandering in the wilderness, all the while complaining, oh, we should have just stayed in Egypt. We wouldn't be eating this. What manna means. We wouldn't be going without water. We wouldn't be doing all this stuff. And all they would do is complain all the time. Man, tiresome. So then God sent some fiery serpents to bite them. And if they were bit, they died. So then they cried to Moses, oh, Moses, talk to God. We're sorry we offended him. We're sorry we sinned against him. So God told Moses, put a serpent on a stake. Make a bronze serpent. Put it on a stake, probably looking something like a cross, and raise it up. And if they were bit and they looked at it, they would be saved. Raise me up. Jesus, referring to Jesus, the psalmist writes, David, raise me up. Of course, when we talk about raising me up with Jesus, we try to want to skip forward to a couple days, to the third day. That's what we're not going to be talking about that tonight. That is not at all what this is referring to. This is referring to another kind of raising Jesus up. This is a kind of raising Jesus up that no one expected. Surely not the crowd that was gathered there on Palm Sunday. Surely not those who had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. Surely not his disciples who had been with him all the way. Surely not the women, including his mother. They were not thinking of this kind of raise me up. So why was Jesus raised up? And how was he raised up? After being arrested last night, and being put on trial, he suffered all kinds of punishment, humiliation, mockery, all kinds of junk. They stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him, and they whipped him, and they spat at him, and they made fun of him, and they did this all, and his body was torn. His body was torn bad, really bad. And he was in immense pain. Yes, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ was in immense pain. They took a crown of thorns. You're a king, we'll give you a crown. And they thrust it upon his head, not nicely. Not nicely at all. They scourged him. And he was hurting. And he could have stopped it. He could have stopped it like, boom, it's done, it's over with. Thank you for doing what you were doing, but I've had enough, and healed himself, and he would have been healed completely, but we would have been in trouble. So he went through it. He went through it. Why? Why did God allow himself to go through this? Brothers and sisters, one year on Palm Sunday, I gave everybody some mirrors pieces that were, when you look at it, it was really distorted and looked horrible. And I said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then I asked everybody to look in that mirror. And I said, this is why God has forsaken his son. Because of how sin has corrupted us. How sin has sunk into every pore of our bodies. And we needed something to cure us out of the sin. We needed somebody to cure us of the sin. So he went through those whips, and he went through the scourging, and he went through this all. And every single time anything was inflicted on him, brothers and sisters in Christ, the sins of mankind from the beginning of time, from when Adam and Eve sinned, through the present time, and now into the future until he returns, every one of those sins was what was tearing into his body and was hurting him so much. He became sin for us. How horrible it must have been. And it gets worse for him. That's just the beginning. It gets much worse for him. As he is led to Calvary, how many of you ever seen the movie The Passion? Just picture the grotesqueness of it. How much he suffered as he has to struggle up to Mount Calvary, as he has to have Simon of Cyrene help him carry his cross up. And then he gets there and they get ready to plant the cross, and they take him and they attach him to it with nails and straps. And just think how the knobs, how that junk coming out of the tree, it wasn't shaved or anything. It was gnarly. Not in the gnarly man good way, but gnarly as in it had all kinds of sharp things poking out into his back, into his flesh, into his legs. And he was doing this for us. Yet it gets worse. As he is lifted up onto that cross, and he cries out, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that is when it was at its very worst. Because of our sin, God the Father forsake Jesus, so that we can now come near to God the Father. He did this in our place for us. The punishment that we deserve, the wrath that we deserve, all that we deserve, Jesus took upon himself so that we might live, have our sins forgiven, so that we don't have to go through that. He was lifted up. And now he may repay them. That's why he was lifted up, that he may repay them. What does that mean, that he may repay them? Oh, finally, yeah, the wrath is going to come. He's going to get them Roman soldiers. He's going to get those religious leaders. He's going to get the disciples who betrayed him and ran away. He's going to get all the sinners of all time. The wrath of God is going to pour out on each and every one of them. This is his time to repay them. No, that's not what this means. He's repaying us by dying for us. He's repaying them by dying for them. He's repaying everyone by taking their sins upon himself. He's repaying them and us and any person who ever lived when he proclaims, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he cries out, "Tetelestai," in Greek. He probably spoke in Aramaic, but "Tetelestai" means, we record it as, "It is finished." But what it really means, the debt has been paid in full. He repaid the debt in full, our debt. Then he breathed his last and he died.